Amen. Let's remain standing in. Let's go to the book of Genesis this morning, chapter number one, all right? You don't have to flip very far. Just kind of open up the front page of your Bible, and it might just land there. Genesis chapter one, and we'll begin in verse number 26 today. We are continuing a mini-series, if you will, throughout the month of June called God's Perfect Design. We're studying different topics. Last week, we looked at the issue of homosexuality. Today, we'll address the topic of gender, and we'll continue with that theme into next week. As Brother Jerry mentioned tonight, we're showing a documentary called In His Image, and it's a powerful documentary. I invite you to come and be a part of that. We will have that kids' class and the nursery provided as well for any who would like to take advantage because of the sensitive nature of the issue or the topic. But for today, we turn to the issue of gender. We want to know, what does God's Word say? Beginning there in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again, we ask that you would speak to our hearts today, give us clarity in a confused world, and point us to your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Well, for these first two messages, last week and this week, I'm really trying to take some time to answer arguments used against the Bible and against Christianity in regard to these issues. I would believe, maybe I'm, I don't know, kind of speaking out of turn here, but I would assume that everyone in this room, if not close to everyone in this room, agrees wholeheartedly with what the Bible says about these issues, that God intended one man and one woman for one lifetime in his covenant of marriage to be his perfect design. Now, we know we live in a fallen world, but we also understand that he made a man and he made a woman, and that's it. All God's people said, amen. Amen. That is it. And I believe that you would wholeheartedly agree with that. Where there is some difficulty as Christians is trying to understand, how do we respond to our culture in regard to these issues? And so my hope is that this short series would be just a way of equipping the believers to stand for the truth of God's Word. To say that our world is confused about gender is an understatement, isn't it? I don't know if this is true for Androids, but if you want to know just how confused we are, if you have an iPhone, pull out your iPhone, go to text somebody, type in the word pregnant, and just watch the emojis that pop up. What you will find, I don't know if Android, maybe they're sanctified. I'm not sure, but it may be that you will find a depiction of what they believe is a pregnant man. And I know that there are estimates to have been around 50 billion men to have ever lived on the face of the earth. And out of those 50 plus billion men, the percentage of those men who have ever been pregnant is zero, and it will always be zero. But from emojis to women's sports, to children's cartoons, we are coming face to face with this issue nearly every week or every day in our culture. Many of you heard the story last year of Emily Wyant, who was an Olympic silver medalist swimmer, also still in college, competing in the national championships of the Division I swimming competition, who was beaten by now famous Leah Thomas from Penn, the first ever transgender athlete to win a Division I national championship. From sports to cartoons, A recent episode from the animated kids show Transformers Earthspark featured a robot sharing its preferred pronouns as they, them. Now, maybe you're thinking like I am, what in the world does a robot have pronouns for? Is it's a thing and not a person, and yet we see this constant push from every angle from our society, even on our youngest kids. Of course, the church often adds further confusion on this topic. Many churches now saying that God is in fact gender neutral, denying the clear teaching of the entirety of the Bible. Furthermore, evangelical pastors and many of the popular voices in evangelicalism today also adding more confusion by not taking a clear stand on the Word of God in these issues. It's not that they say they're in favor of it. They just won't come out and call it what it is. It's sin. It's sin. For example, Michael Todd, who's the lead pastor of Transformation Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's a mega church, average attendance of 5,000 every single Sunday. He, quote-unquote, addressed the issue of homosexuality and transgenderism by just dancing around the issue. Round and around he went. Eventually, he sort of bemoaned how he wished that God would have given us another option. And I quote, "I wish God would have made it more simple, like A, B, C, or D." I feel like A or B is as simple as it gets, right? The problem is not simplicity or confusion on the Bible's part. The problem is what it has always been. As Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, the temptation is still the same today. You will be as gods, and mankind wants to be God and say, even though God said there is only a man and a woman, I want to change that and I want to be something else. More simple, he said. Yeah, let's turn to the transgender issue and find anything that's simple about it. Like the unlimited amount of pronouns that can be used for any person that change any minute. I've seen videos of people wearing wristbands of multi different colors that are supposed to identify their pronouns at any given time, and when they take one certain wristband, they move it to the other side. That's the pronoun that they want to go by at that moment in time. Pronouns like see, sir, sirs, sir self, co, cos, cos, co self, ni, nim, ners, nim self, te, tim, teres, tim self. I'm not making any of these up. Yo-yos, yo-self, zee-zer, zer-self, vee-viz, ver-self. These don't even touch on the so-called neo-pronouns, which are pre-existing words being used as a pronoun, like bun, buns, bun-self, kitten, kittens, kitten-self, vamp, vamps, vamp-self, prin, ses, prin-self, bug, bugs, bug-self, frog, frogs, frog-self, leaf, leaf-self. And on and on and on it goes. This is not a fringe movement any longer. What at one point in time was hidden in dark alleys and shameful is now strutting down Main Street in our own city. It is coming closer to home. Drive up the road to the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center and you'll find one of the only few academic health centers in the country to offer bottom gender-affirming surgery. Beyond surgical options, this is from the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center website, we offer a full spectrum of care for our LGBTQ community. We have a dedicated team of medical experts in every field and through close collaboration aim to serve the LGBTQ population of Columbus and beyond. It's estimated that the number of people who identify as transgender has doubled between the years of 2017 and 2020. Now, it is still a minute people group. It is still small. But the fact that it has doubled in 3 years is very alarming. During that time, it tripled in those ages 6 to 17. 6 to 17. The number of children placed on puberty-blocking treatment or hormone therapy of that same age, 6 to 17, doubled in that time span. And although most children's hospitals in the U.S. don't offer surgery to minors, there are some. They want to act like it's not happening. 776 recorded mastectomies from 2019 to 2021 were performed on those 6 to 17 years old. You know, last year, I mentioned last week there was a Pride event downtown in Circleville. It was the second annual Pride event. Last year, when they had the first annual Pride event, it was being promoted on social media, and a question I kept seeing pop up was this question, is it kid-friendly? Is it kid-friendly? That's what a lot of people wanted to know. And I understand and you understand what they meant by that, but I just kept thinking, is it kid-friendly? Yeah. About as kid-friendly as being in the middle of the racetrack on turn 4 of the Daytona 500. Give me a break. Is it kid-friendly? No, it's not kid-friendly. How can anything be kid-friendly that totally promotes the mutilation of children through transgender surgery? It celebrates it. It blasphemes God and His Word. It celebrates sin. It disregards the biblical roles of gender and sexuality. It mars the image of God, all the while insulting the picture of the gospel and the church as the bride of Christ. Is it kid-friendly? No, it's not kid-friendly. Try to see through all of the bright colors and glitter to the darkness that is taking place. This topic is ever evolving. Have you noticed that? What was true one day about the transgender issue may change tomorrow, and then the next day, and then the next day. I didn't even think of this in the first service, but at the Justin Trudeau up in Canada, you see him try to pronounce the LGBTQIA and go through it. And he is all for it, and he's for the gender-affirming surgery, and he just gets tongue-tied. He can't even say it himself. They don't even know how to say it. I read an article from 2020. I went down the rabbit hole, the Google rabbit hole. I just asked this simple question, how many genders are there? From 2020, there was an article that stated there are 57 genders. Fast forward 2 years to a separate article, I found a claim that there are 72 genders. As recent as last month, there was a newer, more updated article written stating that there are now 107 genders. It is ever evolving. Genders including, but not limited to, and again, I am not making these up, abinary, agender, ambigender, androgyny, androgynous, androgynous, aporigender, autigender, bacla, bigender, binary, bisu, calibi, calili, cis, cisgender, cisfemale, cismale, cisman, ciswoman, third gender, omnigender, non-binary, neurogender, multigender, intergender, genderless, genderbender, jimmygender, bandgender, polygender, two-spirit, and on and on and on. I just being honest with you, I don't know if I've ever studied an issue or a topic like this where I have had more difficulty researching about it than any other topic. They don't even know what they believe. And what was true again yesterday is not true tomorrow. But then, through all of that, I come to the perfect Word of God. And here's what I read in Mark 10, verse number 6. Allow this just to wash over you like a cold drink of water. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. All God's people said, amen. Amen. That is God's perfect design. This is one of the greatest issues facing the church today. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says that God is not the author of confusion. So let's just be really clear this morning. Number one, there are only two genders. There's only two. In Genesis 1, verse number 27, at the very beginning of the Bible, if ever there was a point where the omniscient, all-knowing God would think to add something in, a third gender, another option, C or D, as that one pastor said, this would be the moment. And it says that God, what does he do? He created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And then in the New Testament, you fast forward where Jesus Christ himself reaffirms what God taught in the Old Testament. He doesn't change it. He doesn't modify it. He doesn't add to it. Yet he holds to the perfect truth of the Word of God. There is male and there is female. You know, our teens are going to Fuel Camp this coming week. Fuel Camp, over the years, has gotten so big. There's so many churches, so many teens that go, that this year we had to divide it in two. So there's Fuel Week 1 and then Fuel Week 2. And kind of half the churches go to 1 week and the other half go to the other week. And it allows for more teens and more churches to come. Week 1 just happened. Week 2 is going to, you know, take place or start tomorrow with our teens. I serve at the camp and help out with different areas, running activities and stuff. So during week one, one of the preachers got up and he just touched on the issue of gender. And it was just more of a passing comment. And there I was, and I was sitting in the service. Sierra brought the kids up, and my 10-year-old daughter is sitting beside me. And he mentions how they're, you know, basically, some people are confused. They think there's, you know, many genders. There's just two, man and a woman. And then my daughter took her Bible. She turned back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse number 27. And then she nudged me with her elbow, pointed to it, and then did this with her eyebrows as if to say, this is simple, this is obvious, that even my 10-year-old daughter knows that is crazy, that is confusion. Here is what God says. This is his perfect design. It's not complicated. God made them male and female. Now, just to be clear, when we say transgender, exactly what are we talking about? Transgender are people who identify or individuals who feel that the sex they were assigned at birth doesn't match their gender identity or the gender that they feel they are inside. These people are often called transgender. Now, I stole that definition directly from Planned Parenthood's website, which is ironically a leading cultural voice in the LGBTQ community. Not always, but have you noticed the pattern that those who are for the transgender issue also happen to be for abortion too? They always line up on the same side, don't they? And you might think, oh, that's interesting. When in reality, is it any surprise that those who would like to murder children in the womb would also like to mutilate them in life? The National Institute of Health believes that children should be afforded gender-affirming care, including gender-affirming surgery. The National Institute of Health. Ironically, I found this quote in a different article on their website. Quote, the brain finishes developing and maturing in the mid to late 20s. The part of the brain behind the forehead, called the prefrontal cortex, is one of the last parts to mature. This area is responsible for skills like planning, prioritizing, and making good decisions. Do you see the hypocrisy? So they believe the brain isn't fully developed until the mid-20s, the same part of the brain that helps make rational and good decisions, and yet they also believe children should be able to choose these life-altering treatments and surgeries before they're teenagers. Make it make sense, right? Yet we know that God is the creator and ruler of the universe. He is the one who creates and defines manhood and womanhood. God is the one who created and defined gender. And thankfully, he didn't ask us about it, right? We don't get a say in the matter because we're not God. And yet that's the issue, isn't it? We want to be God. To God, the differences between men and women are not accidents. Since he created them, these differences are good and meaningful. Men are not women. Women are not men. And one of the saddest signs of our culture's moral depravity is the amount and the degree of gender confusion today. It is absolutely vain to wonder if men or women are superior to the other. I want you to hear me as clear as day when I say this, all right? Don't misunderstand me. I'm going to say it right. Just listen. Men are absolutely superior to women at being men. And women are absolutely superior to men at being women, all right? Some of you guys got a little nervous there when I got started on that. Your heart started going a little bit. Where is he going with this? This is not about equality. It is always made an issue of equality. The Bible teaches both men and women are created equal in the image of God. Yet, in an attempt for equality, we have lost the beauty of our differences. Now, there are no direct Bible verses that address the transgender issue. However, as you recall from last week, if you were here, there are six passages in Scripture that outright condemn homosexual behavior and are proof enough. Genesis 19, Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20, three in the Old Testament. Romans 1, 1 Timothy 1, 1 Corinthians 6, three in the New Testament. And I say that because homosexuality is closely associated with and really is at the foundation of the transgender movement. Now, we do have a specific command that is very relevant to this topic, and that command comes from Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5. Here's what it says. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, the plain interpretation of this verse is that women shouldn't dress like a man and men shouldn't dress like a woman. It doesn't specify the types of clothing, but just that the clothing should be recognizably different. This prohibition is clear. It doesn't need a lot of explanation. Now, I will say some use a verse like this to teach that women shouldn't wear certain things, like women aren't allowed to wear pants. That's not what this verse is saying. As a matter of fact, when this verse was written, the men weren't wearing pants, all right? They were wearing robes. It was closer to a dress, wasn't it? But the breaking of this instruction reflects the basic rebellion against God's creation order. This is not a command against women wearing a garment that in some ways might be common between men and women, right? Women can wear pants. They should probably just be women's pants, all right? Maybe the other should be said more. Men can wear pants, but they ought to be men's pants as well. That's probably a bigger issue today, isn't it? Dude. Are those your wife's, man? Did you get that a little tight? Oh, this is, I'll just say it to laugh, all right? My wife bought me a pair of jeans, and I was wearing them around. My son said, "Dad, are those skinny jeans?" All right, no more. What is this command against? Well, it's a command against dressing in a manner that deliberately blurs the line between men and women. And by the way, this is reaffirmed in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul himself. We studied this out a while back, all the way over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, or 11 rather, Paul teaches that men and women ought to embrace their bodily identity. That men are to look like men and women are to look like women and not blur the lines. That is the issue, right? God's word is clear and it is sufficient to help us understand what God thinks about gender. Yet, in addition to the scriptures, we have all of human history on the Bible's side. Since the beginning of time, there have only been two genders. You know, it's interesting. Oftentimes we just kind of assume that the rest of the world thinks like us, and they don't. Last September, we had a missions conference. A lot of you were here for that, and what a great time that was. We had missionaries from Sierra Leone, from the Philippines, and from Haiti. While they were here, I just asked them. I said, hey, what's this like, you know, the transgender issue? How's that like in your own countries? And it may be surprising to you to know that in the Philippines, in Sierra Leone, and in Haiti, it's still illegal for gay marriage. In Sierra Leone, to practice homosexual behavior is punishable by life in prison. Not everybody agrees with this. Not everyone is on the same page as our country. When it came to the transgender, outside of a few kind of isolated areas and anomalies in these countries, most of the time, they just can't really comprehend it. A man becoming a woman becoming a man. And I just think that in the United States, we are so bored and so financially blessed, we've run out of things to do. We don't have to survive anymore. In Haiti, when a young man wakes up, one of the only things on his mind is, how am I going to survive today? He doesn't have time to think about whether he's a woman or a cat, right? God only made two types. There's not a third. There's not a 107th either. One commentator wrote, the Bible knows no other gender categories besides male and female, while men and women in Scripture may express their masculinity and femininity in a wonderful, diverse way. Scripture still operates with the binary categories of men and women. You are one or the other. The anomaly of intersex individuals does not undermine the creational design, but rather gives another example of creation groaning in that things are not the way they're supposed to be. The realities of a fallen world. Gender is not assigned at birth. It is designed by God when he knits you together in your mother's womb. There are only two. Number two. Sex is not different from gender. Sex and gender are the same thing. Have you heard this argument? This is where the culture tries to manipulate things. They'll say, hey, yeah, sex is biological, but gender identity is something different. One particular article stated, forget about the two-gender binary. Gender is a term that relates to how we feel about ourselves and the way we choose to express our gender through makeup, dresses, high heels, athletic shorts, sneakers, and more. Our society has convinced us that there are just two options for gender. Blame society for convincing us. Nobody ever convinced me that there were two genders. I just have eyes and I have a brain, and so I can determine, not be convinced, that there are only two. The opposite is true. Our society is constantly trying to convince us that, unlike what scientific evidence shows and biology shows and genetics show and DNA shows and God's word shows, that's not true. And what you feel is more important than who you actually are. I continue. Society has convinced us that there are only two options for gender identity, male and female, based on biological sex. But in reality, there's more fluidity. There are many different gender identities. This comes a statement from Women's Health Magazine, ironically. You want to talk about who's really being affected by this? When a man wins Woman of the Year. Women's Health Magazine says, sexuality and gender identity are not the same thing. Gender identity is how you feel about yourself and the ways you express your gender and biological sex. Meanwhile, sexuality refers to who you are emotionally, physically, romantically, and sexually attracted to. In summary, gender is how you feel about yourself, while sexuality is how you feel about others. Here's the problem. The Bible makes no such distinction. If you obliterate the idea of gender and you make it just a social construct, do we realize that we are opening up Pandora's box here? If gender is just a social construct, what is stopping you from saying that ethnicity is also a social construct? You know, it's interesting. If I want to be a woman, that's not a problem. If I want to be a black woman, now that's an issue. When genetically, ethnicity, between any two people anywhere on the earth, genetically there's a difference of about 0.2%. That's a lot less than the differences genetically between men and women. But if gender, something so clear and simple and plain and provable, is just a construct, then maybe ethnicity is too. Why stop there? If ethnicity is a social construct, what about our species? I think that's ridiculous. You would be amazed how many teachers, public school teachers, I have talked to from different grades, different cities, different schools, who have very similar stories. There's a student in my class who wears a collar around their neck, cat ears on top of their head, and walks around all day purring and meowing. That's happening in our city. That's happening in our county, in our state. But who are you to tell them that they're not a cat or a dog or a bug? If gender can be just explained away, then what about our species? Here's another one. What about age? Tell the pedophile he can identify as a woman, that's fine, but not as a 10-year-old boy. Well, that's different. That's crossing the line. That's different. Yeah, it is different. At one point in time, he was a 10-year-old boy, but he was and will never be a woman. These are exactly the things that we are seeing happening today. This is not a straw man argument. Keep in mind all of these. Homosexuality, transgenderism, pornography, adultery, lust, bestiality, pedophilia. They are all in a category together of sexual sin. And yet there are those who get very offended when you compare homosexuality with bestiality or pedophilia. And they'll say, no, that's totally different. One is between consenting adults. It's interesting that word consenting comes up a lot when they're arguing their side. Well, that's a 10-year-old boy can't consent to that type of relationship. And yet, out of the other side of their mouth, they will say that that same 10-year-old boy can make a decision to have a life-altering surgery, and they want to argue that all of these things are different, and because one is between consenting adults and the other is... This is not an identity issue. This is a sin issue. And as soon as this becomes something that people are and not something that people do, you lose the right to tell them they need to change. Because how can I tell you to change who you are? This isn't about who you are. It's about what you do. It's not about identity. It's about sin. It is sexual sin. Beyond that, it's covetousness, isn't it? Transgenderism at its root is sinful envy of the sexual anatomy of someone else. It's also pride. This movement is filled with pride. They talk about it. Pride, that's the whole month. And I would say it is pride, especially this group of people who identify as transgender, maybe the most narcissistic people in the world, to deny, outright deny, basic reality that there are only two genders, and then force upon me to deny with you. You have to lie too. And if you don't, you're hateful. How prideful is that? Who's really behind this? The serpent. The one who questioned God's word in Genesis 3 is the same serpent who is questioning God's word about Genesis 1. Satan is called the father of lies. So what does he do? Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. What does Satan say? You shall not surely die. God made everything in 6 literal days. But what does a day really mean? God made them male and female. But maybe there's something else. Satan wants to bring masculinity and femininity into nothing. No distinctions between us. He is the master of taking the simplest truths from God's word and deceiving the world about it. Our gender is no accident. Scripture shows that God was purposeful in making each of us and in giving us our unique soul and body that he chose for us. They're not different. They're the same. Number 3, feelings don't determine truth. Well, what about how I feel? There's sort of a popular phrase over the past few years. Somebody coined the phrase, facts don't care about your feelings. And I would agree with that. But I like this better. Feelings don't determine truth. It's a dangerous thing to try and shape my understanding of the Bible by my feelings. Instead, I ought to shape my life, my experiences, and my feelings by the Word of God. How ironic that we are told we must accept people as they are by a group of people who don't even accept themselves for who they are. Shane Pruitt said, "The goal of the gospel is not to affirm you, celebrate you, and accept you. The goal of the gospel is to rescue you, transform you, and redirect you." This is usually where the argument turns emotional. But you're denying trans people's existence. I've heard this I don't know how many times. You're denying our reality. You are harmful to us because you're denying that we exist. And I would say, no, I'm not. You're denying you exist. You are denying your own reality. And I am here saying, no. God created you fearfully and wonderfully made just as you are. You don't have to change your body. He just wants to change your soul. I'm not denying your reality. I'm trying to show you your reality. Well, I have to be true to myself. The problem is, the Bible never tells us that. The Bible says, deny yourself, die to yourself, repent of your sins, and walk in newness of life. Feelings don't determine truth. Lastly, number 4, forgiveness is possible through Christ. Forgiveness is possible. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, this is relevant to read. I'm going to read it. I'll read it quickly, and we'll take it down, all right? Don't look at it too long, okay? Read it on your own time. "He that is wounded in the stones, or hath his privy member cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord." That's what the Bible says about that. If you'll allow me, I'd prefer to move on from that verse. If we all agree, we understand what it means, and I no longer have to exposit that passage. Is it forgivable? Well, according to Deuteronomy 23, this person has lost the privilege of citizenship and worship in God's temple if they commit such a vile act. This is what we would call a eunuch. Now, some eunuchs, it was not their choice, but it was forced upon them at a young age. There's a lot of similarities there. But these eunuchs would become eunuchs because they were brought into the royal harem with the king's women. There were others who chose that role and chose to mutilate themselves. But then there were those who would offer themselves as a sacrifice to their false god, giving up their sexuality in order to earn favor with their god. And they were forbidden from entering the temple of God if they committed this great sin against their own body and against their creator. Now, does that mean they were beyond forgiveness? I believe Isaiah 56 gives us the answer to that question. Verse number 1, thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Verse 2, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Verse 3 says, neither let the son of the stranger, the foreigner, that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Then notice this, neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. In other words, I am worthless, I am useless, I have no hope. Verse 4, for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me. And then we'll pause here on this verse for just a second. And take hold of my covenant. Stop there for a second. Take hold of God's covenant, his promise of what? Of salvation. That's what he says in verse number 1. To forsake their ways and receive the promise of the covenant. Now, we have an example of this in the New Testament, don't we? In Acts chapter 8, we studied this last year. An Ethiopian eunuch is in his chariot reading the word of God. All of a sudden, a man by the name of Philip runs up to the chariot at the command of the Lord. He says, do you know what you're reading? What does the eunuch say? How can I, unless somebody tells me? Philip climbs up into that chariot. He begins to share and expound the word of God to him. And what happens to the eunuch? He sees some water and he says, what's keeping me from getting baptized? Philip says, believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And the eunuch confesses, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he is miraculously saved. He follows the Lord in baptism, and then what happens? When he comes up out of that water, Philip is gone, miraculously transported away to another place, and it says the eunuch went away in joy. Now, if you'll allow me just to imagine for a second. Now imagine that eunuch comes up out of that water, and he's joyful. His eternity has changed. He dries himself off and he climbs back up into that chariot. Now just imagine Satan starts to work, just like he does very often for brand new believers. Maybe he starts to whisper in that eunuch's ear, you really think God saved you after what you've done? That he could forgive you? Look at yourself. You don't have any part of God. Maybe he began to doubt. Wait a minute. I'm a eunuch. I can't even go into the temple. And that guy's gone, and did he really save me? Does anybody know where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading from in Scripture? What book of the Bible? Isaiah chapter 53. Now imagine for a second, if he climbed back up into that chariot, he reached over and grabbed that scroll. Within a few minutes, he will have just read this passage, and then verse number 5, look at it with me. Verse 5, to the eunuch he says, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters, and I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. What other God would take someone who mutilates their own body, disrupting, disfiguring, and destroying God's perfect design, and yet that God would promise to that individual forgiveness, mercy, and everlasting life? What other God would show such love and compassion and do such a thing? You know, the transgender movement is complicated, but the need of man is still the same, to be reconciled to God through the person of Jesus Christ. Please do not misunderstand. This is not an unforgivable sin. It is a sin with long-lasting physical consequences, many of which can never be undone, but a sin that must be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ in order to be forgiven. But it can be forgiven. Listen, no one is welcome here to propagate this type of sexual perversion or false love. However, all are welcome here to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, to turn from their sin, and to experience the type of peace and forgiveness that only Jesus can offer. Let me read one final passage. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Maybe you see yourself so far. Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That is a direct reference to sodomy and homosexuality. Verse number 10. Now it's going to hit closer to home. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't end there? Verse 11. I love these words. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Have you been washed? Have you been sanctified? Have you been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? No matter what you've done, Jesus promised to us, to all of mankind, if we will repent of our sins and put our faith in Him, that we might be able to say, that was me, but it's not me anymore. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? As you stand, if you would bow with me. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Nathan, that was me. I've been covetous. Adulterer, drunkard, liar, thief, fornicator. I was a sinner on my way to hell. But that's not me anymore, because I've been saved by Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony to that this morning? All across the room, you may put those down. With heads bowed, eyes closed. Is that you today? Have you been washed? Have you come to Christ alone and asked Him forgive you of your sins? Friend, it's not just the sin of homosexuality or adultery that sends people to hell. It's all sin. So So have you been washed? You can today. I invite you to come this morning if you need to be saved. Christian, you have someone in your family, one of your friends, one of your coworkers, maybe your boss, someone close to you who's struggling with this idea of gender identity. They're being deceived. Maybe you want to come today if you have children. Pray that God would protect them and give you wisdom in raising them in this confused world. Whatever the Lord's laid on your heart, I encourage you to respond. Lord, thank you for the clarity of your word, once again showing us your perfect design. God, we know that we live in a sinful world, a fallen world. Mankind has been corrupted. God, we can come to the truth of Scripture. You can bring us back to how you designed it to be. Now help us, Lord, as believers, to stand for your truth, to speak simply and clearly in our confused world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.